Isaiah said it. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool.
Thank you, Pastor Klaus. And looking ahead to next week, what will your sermon be about?
Next week, Mark.
Next is a live broadcast of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church Worship Service with Pastors Poppy and Mirandi.
Lord, this is the first Sunday in Lent. We pray God's blessings as we journey to the cross and empty tomb with our Lord and Savior Jesus. First Sunday in Lent traditionally focuses on the temptation of Jesus. Immediately after he is baptized, Jesus is hurled into the desert. For 40 days, he fasts. And at the end of that 40 days, Satan comes and tempts him in the same way. Satan tempts us, the baptized. He tempts us when we are weak. But Jesus has overcome all temptation for us. Thanks be to God. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn, number 418, O Lord, throughout these 40 days. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service, setting 3, page 184 and following. Have a worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side. The propers are on the other. Please note, during Lent, we still praise God, but we refrain from certain aspects of that praise. We'll save our hymn of praise, the Gloria, until Easter, and we'll also refrain from saying Alleluia. We will use the Lenten responses where they are provided, and we pray that God would richly bless us in our Lenten journey. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, temptations are real. Teach us to know where they come from, not from you, but from the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. Help us to see Jesus for who he truly is, God in the flesh, for us and for our salvation. All these things, Lord, we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 418. Service, setting 3, page 184. Please stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, poor miserable sinner,
confess unto you all my sins
and iniquities,
with which I have ever offended you,
and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together the introit appointed for the day.
When he calls to me, I will. I will set his heart.
Lord God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church, that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Continue with the readings. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Lent is from Genesis, chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden." But God said, "You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock, and above all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood has shed for me. And that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe. God, I come. Just as I am, thy love unknown hath broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yes, thine alone, O Lamb of God,
The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 4. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fourth chapter. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command His angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, Again it is written, You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, All these I will give to you, if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, Begone, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the gospel of the Lord. We now confess our Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day He rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We sing now our hymn of the day, hymn 562. Please be seated.
Thank you. was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for our sermon this first Sunday in Lent is the gospel lesson read a few moments ago from the fourth chapter of the gospel according to St. Matthew, dear friends, in Christ. What kind of Jesus do you want? What would a God of your own creation look like? What would your Savior be if you were the one calling the shots? If you are at all like all other people throughout history, the answer is quite clear. Your Jesus, your God, your Savior would be powerful, victorious, obsessed with glory, able to do mighty things for you. People have been shaping and creating gods for themselves all throughout history. And so we, if you do a little study, know exactly what kind of God we would choose if we made one up ourselves. Every mythology has gods who exercise power on their own behalf and then on behalf of those who worship them. In Greek mythology, Zeus is a ruler, first of all, the most powerful of all the gods. And if you can get him on your side, then your enemies had better watch out. Even the disciples said, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" They couldn't wait for Jesus to stick it to the Romans, to drive out their enemies, to make Israel powerful and glorious once again. What kind of Jesus do you want? If you are at all like the rest of humanity, you want a Jesus that is very much like the one Satan wants to give you. The Son of God, the devil, wanted Jesus to be. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." "Yes, Jesus, do it. You are the Son of God, of course you are. Feed your aching belly, fill your empty stomach. It's as easy as saying a word." And then, "Jesus, fill us. Feed us. Turn that other rock into a car. How about that one into a house? That big one in the middle into a pile of gold. Give your followers the abundance that only the Son of God can give. No more scarcity, no more want. We will bow down and worship you. We will give you the glory that you deserve. We'll follow you anywhere if you keep giving us stuff." And what if Jesus had said yes? Would have been easy for him to do so. Been easy to turn barren rock into a feast. Satan asked for simple loaves of bread. Jesus, in seconds, could have had a steak dinner with some wine. And when he left that wilderness, he would have become the kind of Jesus we wanted. Our bread king, the one who supplies all of our needs, keeping us healthy and wealthy, bribing us with good things to keep us loyal, to keep the worship and the praise flowing. And oh, we would give it For this is exactly the kind of Jesus we want. Then the devil took him to the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." "Yes, Jesus, do it. You are the Son of God. You have legions of angels at your command. Surely one or two could be spared to catch you. You are the Son of God, beloved of the Father. Put to the test the words that your father spoke at the Jordan. Demand that he act. You know he will. Jump, Jesus, jump. And then do it again. Wow us. Wow the world with great feats, with death-defying stunts. The masses will follow you. Your churches will be packed. All the world will worship you." And what if Jesus had, without a second thought, jumped? An instant before a bloody death, the angels would come, lifting him up and placing him down in the midst of an adoring temple crowd. Even the chief priests would fall down at that spectacle. Herod and Pilate would both come hand in hand to see it. There's no better way to manipulate the crowd, to get the mob on your side, than to satisfy their bellies and show them some wonders. For that is the Jesus we want. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." "Yes, Jesus, do it. This is exactly what we want. Ruling Jesus, King Jesus, Emperor Jesus, Dictator Jesus. Take the reins of power, Jesus. You'll set things right. You'll defeat our enemies. You'll conquer lands. You'll lead armies to bloody victory. Christendom will be the most powerful empire in the world. And you'll certainly have some places for us, some little dominions of power to exercise, some positions where we can order someone around. It's all about power, Jesus. And here's your chance to have it all." And what if Jesus, turning his eyes from heaven, looked down at the ground and then fell to his knees before Satan? All things would be his, all power, all dominion, all glory. We would then truly have that Christian nation we all want. Abortion and homosexuality would be outlawed. There wouldn't be any permits for mosques issued. All would bend the knee willingly or at the point of the sword. Baptisms would be universal and jail time to those who resist. Our enemies, they'd be no more. Biblical morality would be the law of the land. And we, the faithful, would have our own little enclaves of power. And then we would die. We would go to hell, for our sin remained upon us. And as we suffered in anguish for eternity, one thought would torment us. That was exactly the kind of Jesus we wanted. That is Satan's Jesus. The Jesus we would craft for ourselves. There are always gods like Satan's Jesus spewing forth from the minds of men. There is only one real Jesus. But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." The true Jesus will not use his power for selfish gain, to fill his own belly, to feed his aching stomach. The true Jesus will not manipulate the crowds, bribing them with promises of money and food, feeding their loss in order to bask in their glory. The true Jesus is no magician, no bread king, simply there to show off. The true Jesus is obedient to his Father's will. The true Jesus is not driven by his passions, but by God's word. The true Jesus will continue to hunger and thirst, suffering want in the wilderness, foreshadowing the desert of the cross. His miracles, even his feeding miracles, are not to increase his own prestige, to bribe and manipulate the crowds. Why else does he hide himself from them? Why else does he always tell anyone he heals not to tell anyone about it? His miracles are not to gain power. They are acts of compassion from a loving Savior who weeps to see the effects of sin upon his fallen creation. There is only one Jesus who would refuse to manipulate his Father, who would submit in humility to his will. Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." The true Jesus is not on this earth as a spectacle. The true Jesus has the command of angels, but he does not call on them to defend him. The true Jesus doesn't call on his Father to save him from foolishness. The true Jesus submits in humility to death, even death upon a cross. His disciples struck with the sword at the Garden of Gethsemane, attempting to prevent his arrest. But Jesus commanded that the swords be put away. His followers should not fight. The angel legions standing at attention will not be summoned. The armies of heaven will stand silent as the Son of God is nailed to the tree. For the true Jesus will not forego the cross and grasp after glory. Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." The true Jesus is not after power. The true Jesus has no desire to lead armies, to win great victories, to sit himself on the blood-stained thrones of the kings he has killed. The true Jesus is a king, and he will be enthroned upon a cross. The true Jesus will win victory by giving himself into sacrificial death for all sinners, for all sins. The true Jesus doesn't take flesh to rule over men with an iron fist. The true Jesus takes flesh to give himself into the hands of sinful men, refusing to defend himself out of his great love for you. The true Jesus comes not to manipulate or oppress you. He comes to save you. The true Jesus glorifies no one but his Father, and he glorifies his Father through his death for you. That is not Satan's Jesus. The Jesus who would refuse the power and glory of the world. The Jesus who wouldn't test his Father's love. The Jesus who wouldn't even fill his own empty belly. There are plenty of those kinds of gods out there, and you're welcome to worship them if you want to stand before your Creator on the last day with your sin still on your back. What kind of Jesus do you want? There is only one of the Calvary kind. There is only one true Jesus who rules by dying for his sinful people. There is only one Jesus who does receive all power, all glory, all authority, but only after enduring the cross. There is only one Jesus who would not grasp after earthly power because that would leave you in your sin. Jesus loves you so much that he refused to become the kind of Jesus your sinful nature wants, the kind of Jesus Satan wants you to have. He became the Jesus you need. A suffering, dying, rising again Savior who resists every temptation on the way to the cross. That is your Jesus. Victorious in the wilderness, victorious on the cross. Be gone, Satan! This is our Jesus. And in his name, amen. We stand and we sing the offertory. It is found on page 192.
Welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet this day. This time also, we worship God with our gifts and offerings.
Thank you.
prayers of the church. In addition to the prayer requests that are listed in our news and notes, we rejoice with David and Lois Kirchhoff as they celebrated their 50th anniversary of marriage yesterday. We rejoice in the birth and the new birth through the waters of holy baptism of Brooks Jesse Smith, who was home from the hospital, but was baptized Friday by Pastor Morundi. And we also continue to pray for Good Shepherd members Alvin Schmeling and Lyle Muth, both in recuperation and hospitalized. We pray. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For the baptized in Christ, that they would continually dwell in the shelter of the Most High, finding rest and refreshment in the Holy Church, where the true Christ is with all his gifts. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all pastors called to serve in Christ's stead and by his command, that they would preach the gospel in its purity and administer the sacraments according to Christ's institution. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those suffering under temptation and doubt, that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit and find comfort, peace, and assurance in the one who overcame Satan's temptations in the wilderness. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our president, governor, and all those who serve us in the federal, state, and local levels of government, that they would serve with integrity and honor and for the benefit of all. And for all who serve in our military, that they would do so with honor and be kept from all harm. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. For the sick and shut in, the hospitalized and recovering, expectant mothers, and for all those currently undergoing trials and tribulations in this vale of tears, that they would be comforted by and find refuge in the sure and certain promise that nothing can separate them from the love of God, which is theirs through Jesus Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who come to the holy altar this day, that they receive the very body and blood of Christ in repentance and faith, with reverence and awe, and to their abundant blessing. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the faithful who have departed this world in faith, let us give thanks to the Lord. And for all those of us who remain in this valley of the shadow of death, that your holy angels be with us, so that the evil foe may have no power over us, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord.
Amen.
Continue now with the service of the sacrament, page 194. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, We laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." The same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
body of Christ.
For now the peace body of and Christ. The praise and joy of the true Jesus body has come to you and you are seen. So all our
body of Christ.
Amen.
Blood of Christ shed. Body of Christ is for you. The body of Christ.
Lord and Savior Jesus, strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
We stand and sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 199. Thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with my spirit.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Please remain standing for our closing hymn, and I would encourage you to stay if at all possible. We have a very important announcement following our closing hymn. We sing. Shepherd News and Notes, all the activities and events for the days and weeks ahead, Wednesday schedule, worship at 4 and 6:30, fellowship meal at 5, you're all invited, 40 Days of Love. Got a sign-up sheet out there for the Easter stuff that's a ways away.